Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She says she gets 5 pounds of junk mail and magazines a day, but will always take time to read Vogue magazine and health research journals. Jessica Labby is our co-host. She grabs the golf magazines for her husband and says she's not prejudiced against reading trashy magazines while on the treadmill, of course, for the fashion. Mr. Mike Clark, our producer, is in the house. He says he likes EQ magazine. Yeah, but inside, it's actually Victoria's Secret catalog. You put these three characters together, and you never know what's going to happen. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living. For the health of it.
So I was shopping yesterday with a good friend of mine, and at the end of our incredible experience together, having so much fun looking for fall clothes, she said, "I have to run into Lindt chocolate." So, Mike, if you were going to run into Lindt chocolate, what would you get?
I don't like chocolate.
Me either.
Me either. Yeah. Get out. None of us like chocolate.
That's weird because most girls love chocolate.
Really?
Yeah, you're not the norm, you two.
See, now right there, our listeners are going to be like, this isn't real, to have three of us who don't like chocolate.
You know why? Because chocolate cravings are a sign of magnesium deficiency, and I think we all are very good with our clean diets.
There we go. Well, you know, there is this taste for sweetness that, as a society, we have that I think is maladaptive. Do you know what I mean by that, Mike?
I don't.
So it's not natural, you know, for a society to have these sweet cravings. It's so common. And it's really what's happened is we've separated sweetness from nutrition. So a lot of the food we eat that's sweet is not necessarily full of what our body really needs. So we've developed cravings over the years that is really not healthy. It's not normal. You know, we really have stopped understanding the true taste of food. And instead, people crave the chemical. They crave the sugar.
It's salt for me. That's my downfall. But I know for my wife, it's sugar, definitely. She has to have her sugar fix, you know?
Well, and I think that's pretty common for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and unfortunately, when you separate sugar from nutrients, then, you know, there can be a wide range of health problems. So what we're going to focus on for the next several minutes is sugar. Let's talk about the different types of sugar. Let's talk about healthier choices. Let's talk about how to maybe avoid it and really understand when you're reading a label what it means. Because, you know, there are so many names for sugar. I have a couple here. Jessica, do you want to guess at a couple names for sugar?
Fructose, sucrose.
Dextrose, anything with an O-S-E.
Maltose, or is that that's a sugar?
Yep. Corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup. So think of the OLs, the sorbitol, mannitol, xylitol. And then there's, you know, actual like raw sugar, brown sugar, molasses,
honey. What if they just use sugar, you know?
Well, cane syrup, cane juice, maple syrup, honey.
Yeah. What about agave nectar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a form. We'll talk about that. Sorghum, maltodextrin. People heard of that, or polydextrose.
Rapadura.
Yep. You know, what's interesting is we think of sugar as natural. You know, the only thing about it that's actually natural is that it, unless it's completely chemically made, it comes from a plant. But all sugar has been extracted from the plant and concentrated, and it really needs to be regarded as processed. You know, the really only place we're going to get natural sugars is in fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And in milk. Everywhere else, it's going to be processed. So this is interesting. Our ancestors, so we're talking like 200 years ago, how many pounds of sweetener do you think they ate a year?
I couldn't even guess that.
4.
That's it?
Wow.
That's it. So if you think about like a 4-pound weight, that's it. That's all the sweetener that
we probably have that
year.
In a day.
Now it's about 142 pounds a year of sweetener per person.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a lot of sugar.
You know, in prehistoric, so our ancestors, when they had sweeteners, it was more like wild fruit and berries and, you know, starchy tubers like potatoes. And maybe infrequently, they would be able to find wild honey or licorice root. but it was rare. So it wasn't until about the late 40s, early 50s that we started to consume sugar. And you know where it started?
No, tell us.
Breakfast cereals.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. Not only do we have all of these traditionally unsweetened foods now being sweetened, but we also, the sweetness levels are so much higher. You know, there's sugar added to most breads and most cereals and more in cakes. And, you know, our ancestors didn't grow up with having that much sweetness in the diet.
So what does it do to our bodies?
Well, that's what we'll talk about because, you know, if you look at the health of most people compared to, you know, say the average weight back in the 40s, you know, there's quite a difference. You know that in 1925, two-thirds of sugar use was in the home. So, you know, there'd be an actual container of sugar that was used in baking, and only about a third of it was used in industry. And that just has gradually shifted. And now industrial accounts are the majority. You know, sugar is used in most processed food. And, you know, direct household use has declined because, you know, we can purchase all these convenient food products. And that really started more like in the 60s. And really what it means is we have less control over the level of sugar that we consume.
Most people don't even realize it, probably.
Well, and the biggest health concern that in my mind, Mike, is, you know, the research that's been done showing the effect of sugar on our white blood cells. You know, and white blood cells are a marker of the immune system, and Right. It's been proven that when you eat sugar, almost immediately it actually decreases and destroys the white blood cells in our system.
Not a good thing.
Mm. No, and you know, your body will recover fairly rapidly, even within an hour of that. But when you're consistently eating sugar throughout the day or high amounts of sugar, you're depressing your immune system. You know, that's one reason when people come into the office not feeling well, we say no sugar, because it really just... it doesn't allow your white blood cells to heal you.
Interesting.
So, Mike, do you know how to tell how much sugar is in the foods that you eat?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a really, really simple way without having to count something.
Don't you just look on the box?
That's what I would do. But
well, you can look at the
grams. I can't even read the ingredients.
The grams of sugar. Well, you know, knowing names for sugar is important, and we just went through that list. But there's a trick that's been happening in food labeling. And what happens is you have to list the ingredient that has the most amount first. So if there's a lot of sugar, say, in a packaged food, there would normally sugar would be the first ingredient. But, you know, as consumers become a little more savvy with reading ingredient labels, that's going to turn them off. So what manufacturers have been doing is, if there's a reasonable amount of sugar in a product, because of all this consumer backlash, they'll break down the sugar and list it separately so people aren't going to see it on top. So, for example, they may have the first ingredient say wheat, but the second one may say sucrose, and the third one may say corn syrup solid, and then the fourth one may say brown sugar.
Uh-huh.
So the second, third, and fourth are all sugars, but because they're different types of sugars,
right,
they're listed separately, where they would easily be the first ingredient if they had to be lumped together under the word sugar. So if you, a really good rule of thumb is if sugar is the first two or three ingredients, it's pretty safe to say that it's, you know, there's an unrealistic amount of sugar in the product.
Mm-hmm.
That's good info.
We also... you know, I like to look for raw sugar. So say I go to a restaurant and they have the little packages on the table, and usually there's a brown one at a lot of the restaurants we go to, and it'll say...
sugar in the raw.
Yeah, sugar in the raw. What's interesting, though, is what's labeled as raw in the United States is actually white sugar that has traces of cane or beet pulp or molasses that's added back to it to look and taste like genuine raw sugar.
We can't trust anybody anymore, can we?
So it's still maybe better, but isn't that crazy? You know, one raw sugar that is sold in the U.S. is called turbinado. And what that is it's raw sugar that's been steam cleaned to remove contaminants. Because that's the whole thing about raw. You have to make sure there's no contaminants. We also have something called rapadura. So you've heard of that. That's a whole organic sugar. So that means that it's not separated from the molasses steam when they freeze dry to process it. And that's why it has more of that brown color to it. It's completely unrefined, and it's basically organic evaporated sugar cane juice.
Somebody at our potluck dinner at the office last week made a cheesecake with rapadura and put just a little amount in it.
How was it?
That's all you needed.
Oh, it was amazing. It wasn't too sweet. It was perfect.
You've also maybe heard of Sucanat. You can get organic Sucanat in stores. And now white sugar is just stripped of all of its nutrients. With Sucanat, it's the natural evaporated cane juice. So again, it's still a white sugar, but it's still organic. It has less chemical processing with it. So now there's some decent choices. I mean, if you're going to have sugar, you might as well just have sugar and just not have a lot of it. That's the way I look at it. There's controversial stuff, though. You know, I was recently on the Mercola website, and he really, really talks about, you know, no fructose. He links fructose with the obesity epidemic. Mm-hmm. You know, people basically are getting fat from consuming fructose. And you actually have fructose in honey and agave nectar, the agave nectar syrup. So when people, there's all, you know, when you start to read it, there's so much controversy over agave. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it, the reason people will say it's bad is there's fructose in it.
Right.
Does the fructose that people are talking about, though, is controversial, is that when it's isolated and added to an ingredient, is that what makes it dangerous when it's not connected to like a piece of fruit with all of its cofactors and everything?
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly right. Because, you know, when you have, say you eat a piece of fruit, it has everything along with it that the body needs. However, there are people, you know, really respectable people like Mercola that will say fructose is fructose is fructose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he does not recommend honey or agave.
I've also read that fructose, that cancer feeds on fructose.
Yes.
And it affects your bone density.
Yes, that's true. I've read quite a bit about that. And, you know, the whole thing with fructose is it's, you know, when you think about honey, historically, it was eaten infrequently. And if you have a little bit in your diet, it's not a big deal, but it's just in everything. Mm-hmm. And having huge amounts of it affects your insulin, it affects the cells in your body. And, you know, most people will say it should be avoided. You know, the whole thing is most foods do not require sweetening. And those that do really should be eaten sparingly. And honey does have nutrients, but it's at low levels, you know, so I recommend using it sparingly, more as a flavoring agent. And, you know, the same would probably go for maple syrup. It should be used more as a pleasant flavoring agent, you know, not necessarily for its nutritional value. You know, grade B is less refined, so it's better here in New Hampshire.
We can get
that from Vermont pretty easily. You know, it's interesting, though. I'll talk to friends from around the country. They cannot get pure maple syrup easily at all.
It's sought after down south.
Yeah, I have a friend in Texas I used to mail big things of maple syrup to.
Yeah, we just go tap a tree in the backyard.
I know. You know? Right? Yeah. You know, you can get it at any restaurant for an extra buck.
Yep.
You know. So, you know, if I'm going to sweeten something, I might choose a maple syrup or a honey, but in very small amounts. You know, there's no need to go crazy with it. Same thing with rice syrup. You know, you can get brown rice syrup, which is good because that doesn't lose minerals. Mm-hmm. And it's very minimally processed. It's more of a complex carbohydrate. It retains some of the fat, which helps vitamin B levels. You know, so it's another good choice, again, using it sparingly. Well, and we see crystalline fructose a lot. So when you think of your vitamin water, you know, there was this big article that was very interesting about vitamin water, how it's not healthy. It's not like I can drink my vitamins. It's really sugar water. It's crystalline fructose.
Yeah.
And the thing with fructose is it can trigger low blood sugar. So people say, oh, I'm hypoglycemic. It's the fructose that can trigger that. And it also makes you overeat and it makes you gain weight. You know, the body is so intelligent. The body is so capable of keeping us healthy. But when you're consuming even small amounts of sugar, but in a very regular basis, it does affect the body's ability to heal. And when people remove that from the diet, and, you know, for the cleanse for 4 weeks, they'll completely remove all forms of sugar, and amazing things will happen. I mean, I've had people who've had like the athlete's foot infection on their feet for years and years and years will clear up. People's acne will clear up. They'll different skin conditions, their energy will change. Their bowels will change. The stuffiness in their nose will change. Even the texture of their skin, the quality of their hair will change. And it's linked oftentimes to sugar.
Even moods.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
My husband always knows, don't have another piece of cake. I don't want to be around you after that.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I was putting some thought into that, Jessica, about how the thing with sugar is if you look at what happens chemically, sugar can actually kind of disconnect you. And for some people, it's used as an escape. You know, it's almost like a smaller form of what alcohol would do for someone. There was an interesting article that talked about how sugar can actually numbs the spirit because it acts on the nervous system. And by spirit, I basically mean the mood, the emotion of it.
Right.
It does directly affect the nervous system. And as you guys know, as chiropractors, our whole focus is to make sure the nervous system is healthy. And I can see a difference when people are off sugar, their ability to hold their adjustment longer, their ability to actually adjust, their levelness of their mood. There's a huge difference if someone's eating sugar or not eating sugar. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that age-old controversy, high fructose corn syrup.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Welcome back. We have Jessica and Mike in the studio with me talking about sugar. And, you know, here's a quote from the president of the Corn Refiners Association. High fructose corn syrup is one of the most successful new food products of the post-war era. It has led the way for the corn refining industry to become America's number one sweetener supplier. You know, back in the 70s, we had this surplus of corn, and they basically learned how to convert corn sugar or dextrose to a much sweeter fructose. So by 2004, the average American was consuming 62 pounds of high fructose corn syrup a year in the yearly sales of $4.5 billion.
So that guy probably owns a diet company now.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it's probably all genetically modified too.
Yeah.
Well, actually it is. In 1980, they developed the gene splicing technology and it was applied to high fructose corn syrup processing. So now it is genetically modified. And you know, by the late 90s, that's when the huge consumption of high fructose corn syrup started to appear. And the thing with this is it depletes the body's supply of several minerals. So our body needs copper, chromium, and magnesium. Now, the thing with a copper deficiency is it can cause heart disease. It can also cause type 2 diabetes. And as you know, those two diseases have been on the rise. Some of the other effects of high fructose corn syrup is it can give you high levels of blood sugar, cholesterol, triglycerides. It can cause anemia, heart and pancreas abnormalities, tachycardia, that's a fast heartbeat, fertility issues, fatty liver, chromium deficiency. And you know, that's a mineral that your body needs to utilize sugar. It helps you balance insulin levels.
So basically it'll kill you.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah,
and you,
I think it
gives you less of a natural defense against free radicals. Definitely weight gain and obesity have been linked. There was the study done with, they put rats on a high fructose diet and they ended up having livers that looked like that of an alcoholic.
And the thing is, it's in everything.
Yeah.
And what happens is your body doesn't recognize it, so because it's not, you know, real food, so it sends it to the adipose tissue, that's your fat tissue in your body, mostly of the liver, and it's stored as fat. We store high fructose corn syrup as fat. And, you know, there's been several studies that have confirmed that it causes obesity and type 2 diabetes, and yet it's still everywhere. It's in everything, and I still find it so interesting how, you know, you guys remember all those commercials that came out? Basically saying high fructose corn syrup is healthy.
Yeah, I still see him occasionally.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Huge consumer backlash. Huge.
And now products are going back to sugar.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because they're starting to figure this out. You know, Coca-Cola is starting to use stevia products. You know, they have this...
Well, there's the new stevia product on the line called Truvia, which is basically bleached, processed stevia, so it's not as good.
Well, what happened with Truvia is Coca-Cola was working with Cargill, so you've heard of major magnate Cargill, to modify stevia so that it could be adapted to beverages and, you know, foods that would more appeal more to the health-minded consumer. Mm-hmm. And so Coca-Cola basically filed all these patents, like over 24 patents to protect this. And it's now, it's a modified version of Stevia, which they renamed Rebiana. And then it has natural flavors in it and erythritol, which is a sugar alcohol, and they named it Truvia. Now, I got to say, this is, I would much rather use Truvia than high fructose corn syrup.
True.
You know, I'm not going to drink a Coca-Cola product, so it's not necessary. But, you know, long term, it's certainly better than a high fructose corn syrup. But it's not completely natural like people would think. You know, there's other sugar alcohols. So if something ends in OL.
But you said it has, the Truvia has, or whatever their version of Stevia is, has natural flavors in it?
Yes. Which that is, you know, and that's the thing with natural flavors. You never know really what that means. Yeah. It could be a complete
What's
chemical.
A natural flavor?
It could be, you know, it could have glutamate, which is like MSG. Yeah, you just don't know.
Yeah.
So bottom line is you don't know. Again, probably a better choice than like aspartame, absolutely. But,
oh, God, yes.
You know? And then we do have this class of sugar alcohols, you know, which in general can be better. That would be sorbitol, mannitol, xylitol, lactitol, maltitol. You know, there's also isomalt. Some people have heard of that. Hydrogenated starch hydrolysylates, HSH. And then, I know, erythritol. So just for people who are interested, I know we call them sugar alcohols, but they don't have sugar nor alcohol in them. So it's a little bit misleading. And the downside with sugar alcohols is they're absorbed really slowly. They don't require insulin, which is good, but your stomach doesn't fully absorb them. So oftentimes with people, especially with bigger amounts, they can cause flatulence or rumbling in the bowels or having to go to the bathroom more, or loose bowels, diarrhea.
Sounds
That's
messy.
That's why I don't use sugar alcohol.
I know. You know, and not everybody's sensitive in that way, but a lot of people are. And so it's important to know that because especially like in gum, sorbitol is in a lot of gum. And the thing with sorbitol is it is naturally present in like berries or fruit, but commercially it's made from cornstarch, which is dextrose. So it's often used with aspartame because that masks the bitter aftertaste of the sorbitol. So oftentimes gum, if you notice, will have sorbitol and aspartame. It has that cool sweet taste because it draws heat from the mouth, but you know, it's a chemical. I think out of all the sugar alcohols, from what I've researched, xylitol is probably the best. So if your gastrointestinal system handles it, it's one of the better choices. Study shows that xylitol does not cause cavities, and it actually possibly can reverse cavities because what it does is it remineralizes teeth that are demineralized. It does raise pH above the acidic level, so it's the most alkaline of all the sweeteners. And if you do get the gastrointestinal upset, sometimes people can adapt to it the more that they use it. For some people, though, it can even reduce like sinus infections, nasal infections. Mm. And it is used in chewing gum. So if I decide to chew gum, I buy 100% xylitol gum to have around.
My sister uses xylitol in her coffee, and she just went to the dentist. No cavities.
Really?
Yeah, and it has a really fine crystalline taste to it. So it's a very kind of cooling taste. It's very crystallized, which a lot of people like. But again, you know, our family used it once to make ice cream, and several members of our family, like, their bowels could not handle it, you know? So, you know, you have to watch it if you want to use it as a pure sugar substitute in baking. Some people, it just makes their stomach too upset. They can't digest it. But, you know, one of the best choices is stevia. More and more people are hearing about this. And stevia is really interesting because it's been used since the early 1900s commercially in South and Central America, and even later in Israel, Japan, China, Thailand, and now finally in the U.S. But in the U.S., you know, it's really been fought by Monsanto, who makes aspartame or NutraSweet. They fought to keep it basically listed as anything but a dietary supplement.
So basically, this I ran into this issue when I was ordering a cake for my birthday. I didn't want sugar in my cake, but I wanted it to taste good. So I asked them if they could put stevia in it, and they said, because the FDA says that stevia cannot be used as a sweetener, mm-hmm. it's, what is it, a nutritional supplement?
It's a dietary.
Or something. Yeah. So they couldn't put it in there
really?
For me.
Which is really too bad because it has an amazing track record around the world. It's been shown to actually normalize blood sugar. There's no intolerance to it. There's no toxicity. It actually can stimulate mental alertness. It can help combat fatigue. It facilitates digestion. I mean, it's really quite amazing. It can help aid in weight loss. It doesn't feed candida growth like yeast infections. You know, it's amazing, but you know, our country has issues with natural things, doesn't it?
Seems like Monsanto's always at the bottom of that too.
Yeah.
They're always doing.
But
that.
The thing with stevia is, you can go to a health food store, or even the grocery store, and you can buy stevia. You can use it in your any beverages you want to use. You can use a little bit in baking. It's much stronger than regular sugar, so you don't use much. You know, it's technically an herb, and it grows wild. You know,
the only thing to look out for when you're buying it is sometimes certain brands of the stevia will add other ingredients, and I can't remember what they are offhand, but they sent red flags up to me.
Natural
and I didn't
flavors,
buy them.
Right? Like the Truvia.
Yeah.
You want to get the pure stevia, and then you know. We have to just finish by talking about the absolute worst thing that you can choose, in my mind, is aspartame. And I was outraged, which actually what made me decide to do a podcast on this topic was just the other day I was reading an article, this was also on Mercola, where the producers of aspartame are actually launching a new initiative. They're going to rebrand the sweetener, basically give it a new name, a new public image, and they're going to call it AminoSweet. I mean, they're going to basically try to fool people
That's
and
unreal.
Say, here's something new. I know. And the thing is, I mean, if you haven't heard of this, the side effects of aspartame can be headache, vision changes, convulsions, seizures, hallucination, nausea, vomiting, joint pain. You know, it is by far the most controversial food additive in history. And there's been so much strong political and financial pressure that FDA finally approved it. But, you know, previously, it was listed by the Pentagon as a biochemical warfare agent. Yeah, seriously. And now, you know, it's sold commercially
Unreal.
Like NutraSweet, and now it'll be sold as AminoSweet.
So they're still using it in products?
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. I remember when I was in my 20s, I used to eat this flavored yogurt, and whenever I ate it on an empty stomach, I would vomit. And I had no idea why. And then I realized it was aspartame. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know there have been more reports to the FDA for aspartame reactions than all other food additives combined?
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And most of them are for headaches, mood alterations, hallucinations.
It's
and
bad
then
stuff.
About a third is gastrointestinal symptoms, like Jessica was mentioning. Ooh. You know, and there have been links with this with MS, Alzheimer's, arthritis, Parkinson's, fibromyalgia, lupus. Lyme disease, lymphoma, depression, attention deficit disorder.
Have you guys seen that documentary, Sweet Misery?
No. You know, I have not, and we want to do that as a movie night in the office.
That is such a powerful movie. If you really want to know and see firsthand the effects of aspartame and what it's done to people's lives, amazing. You can find it on YouTube, too.
Well, the research I've done, Jessica, it shows that there's an ester bond in aspartame that breaks down when you eat it to formaldehyde and methanol, and that's what's been shown to cause cancer. You know, the one thing that was really interesting, there was a compelling case study that was done by a private citizen. Her name was Victoria Innes Brown, and she decided to perform her own aspartame experiment. She used 108 rats over a period of 2 years and 8 months. So every day, she fed some of the rats the equivalent for their body weight, two-thirds the aspartame contained in an 8-ounce can of diet soda. And 37% of the females that were fed aspartame developed tumors, some of them massive.
No wonder everyone's sick, huh?
Yeah, I mean, people want a zero-calorie sweetener, and they're basically putting chemicals into their body that can really hurt.
Because they think it's going to help them to lose weight, but it actually causes them to gain weight.
Yeah, weird.
Yeah, and you know, it's really important to realize, you know, we were talking about people who crave sugar. It's important to know that your body craves sweets when you're not giving it the proper fuel it needs.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not giving it nutrients, it'll crave sweets. And, you know, the most ironic thing with these unnatural sweeteners is that they actually cause you to gain weight. You know, people will drink, say, a diet soda with aspartame thinking it's going to help them lose weight.
That's irony, isn't it?
Yeah. And what the sad truth is that these diet foods and drinks ruin your body's ability to count calories. And in fact, it stimulates your appetite. It doesn't work.
Just eat a peach.
That's right. You know, if you have insulin issues at all, I really suggest you avoid sweeteners altogether.
Once you start, you know, just eliminating it from your diet, you can find other things that are going to make your food taste good. For instance, I eat plain yogurt. That's all I buy is plain yogurt. I'll add walnuts. I'll add tons of cinnamon and ginger and fruit. And it's sweet enough. I don't need any added sweeteners.
You do your own thing.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't know if you have an insulin sensitivity, if you struggle at all with high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, or have extra weight on you, then you have an insulin sensitivity issue. So just taking sugar out of your diet will dramatically change your health. That's one thing I absolutely know for sure. And, you know, it goes back to the body's intelligence. Our body has this healing intelligence. This is what we maximize with chiropractic care. And when we can feed our body the nutrients it needs, then our bodies will not crave chemicals. It won't crave sugar and will be healthier. And if you're in this cycle where your body is craving sugar, and it's imbalanced, you can't build health. You just can't do it. So I agree, Jessica. It's about letting your taste buds change, getting used to the natural sweetness that's already in whole foods. You know, I'm at the point where I can eat a carrot and I can taste the natural sugar. I can get that satisfaction of having a sweetness.
Oh, yeah.
You know, blueberries, they're so sweet. Mm-hmm. Even a banana, you know, and that's really where sweetness should come from in our diet. So I hope I've inspired you to think a little bit more about how you're eating and what your body's ability can be if you give it what it needs. On that note, be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.